good to see each and every one of you guys here today. Now, if you're visiting here today, we want to say a big warm welcome to you. And what I'm about to say does not affect you, but look to your neighbor and say, you look like you lost an hour of sleep last night. Because I look like I lost an hour of sleep last night. I'm feeling it this morning. How many love sleep in the room? I love sleep. I feel like Buddy the Elf in that movie. The Elf, he said, I got a full 40 minutes. Sort of what I felt. I had one of those nights last night where I closed my eyes and opened them back up, and it was time to get up. But we're excited to have each and every one of you guys here today, praying that your week was fruitful and blessed, and praying for your next week that God will put you in the path of people where you can make an internal impact in their lives. I've seen so many people here that need prayer and extra love and support, but one of the people I just want to mention is Cindy Albee. I know Jack's over there. Jack, we're praying for your wife, believing God for good things. But I know many needs are represented in this room today. So Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're the healer. We're thankful that you're the provider. Lord, would you do what only you can do in these people's lives, we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody says, so many people, as we learned last week, will agree with the sovereignty of Satan or self over the sovereignty of God. And we wonder why our life isn't producing the things that we know it should produce. We agree with the bad report rather than God's report. And so as Christians, as believers, we believe that we live in a different kind of kingdom, and that kingdom allows us to, by faith, access it so that we can have the kingdom of God active in our life. How many want the kingdom of God active in their life? I want the kingdom of God active in my life. And as we close this Genesis series on the five, I felt like I wanted to add an appendix to the end, or one final lesson at the end, and talk to you about one of the most important lessons that we learn in Scripture, especially in the book of Genesis, when it comes to God giving us an instrument to realize and begin to play how we can actually learn how to live in the kingdom of God and agree with the sovereignty of God over the sovereignty of man. And that instrument is the instrument of peace. How many like peace and quiet? My sons get mad at me now when they get in the car, because this is a crazy concept. I will have nothing playing in the car. I'm that many years old. Turn the radio off, turn the music off. Sometimes I like to roll the window down and have my hand out the window. And sometimes I just like peace and quiet. There was a day when I thought that was really old, but I am now at that day where I don't think that's really old. Jason will go, what are you doing? Like, what do you do when you sit there and do, like, listen to nothing? Well, son, when you get older, you'll understand. You know, peace and quiet. But there is this instrument that God gives us that allows us to guide and rule our life, and it's the instrument of peace. The way of God, or the word of God, is one way that we access the peace of God, but it's also only played in our life when we access that word of God through the rhythm of obedience. So many people know the ways of God or the wills of God, but they're not actually accessing the instrument of peace because they don't walk in obedience. Let me give you some ground rules or some scriptural context that actually starts in Genesis for understanding the instrument of peace and the sound that we project as believers. Here's what Genesis chapter 3 verses 8 through 10 says. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. What a sound it must have been. He walked before Adam and Eve. It was a rhythm. God spending time with his creation. That is the essence of what we are actually introduced in the book of Genesis, is that God wants to spend time with his people. God already knew the state that Adam and Eve were in, yet he still chose to come to the garden. He never changed. What had happened, they changed. What a gut-wrenching feeling that must have been. Until that moment, although they knew God was there and living with him in harmony, there was something that they decided, or a decision that they made, that caused the rhythm or the sound of peace to change in their lives. For two people to even have the ability to make a statement like that is mind-blowing. I heard the sound of God. And when I heard the sound of God before, I would run to him, but now that I made a free will decision to walk in disobedience, when I heard the sound of God, I actually hid because I was afraid. Do you know that same sound, the sound of peace, is reverberating through our lives in our nation today, in our world today? Listen to what Revelations 3:19 through 21 states. I correct and discipline everyone that I love. Take this seriously and change the way that you think and act. Look, I am standing at the door, and here's what he says. I'm standing at the door doing what? I'm knocking. I am creating a sound or a rhythm or a feeling of peace in your life that if you will obey me and hear what I'm commanding and open the door, I'm going to come in and we're going to eat together and we're going to dine together. Listen to what verse 21 says. I will allow everyone who wins the victory to sit with me on my throne, and as I have won the victory and have sat down with my Father on his throne. So one of the lessons that you need to learn as a believer here this morning is that there is a sound that God emits through his word and through our obedience that allows us to navigate in our life, and it's the instrument of peace in our life. We have a rule. My wife and I, over the last 20-something years, we've had around 10 or 12 people live at our home at different kinds of times. People that God has placed on our heart that have walked into our churches, and we have felt like, hey, we want to invest in that young person or that young adult, and we want to move them in. We have one rule when we move people in our home. Do you know what the one rule is? We have to guard the peace of God in our home. If you disrupt the rhythm or the peace of God in our home, you're gone. You gone. He gone. She gone. That's the rule that we have in our home. So it never fails that we'll walk in. I'll walk in from church, and there's a young adult, and the young adult will have something inappropriately playing on the TV, whether it's a rated R movie or some kind of music video or something like that. And I will walk in to my home, and I will notice that some kind of peace, the peace of God, has left my home. And so I have to begin to teach these young adults and these young people that will live with us, if you will learn how to let the peace of God rule and reign in your heart and live inside the peace of God and don't touch the things that are outside the peace of God, your life creates a rhythm and a sound that attracts people to you that you're going to be able to impact for eternity. It's a sound of heaven. Do you realize that God is still making that sound to draw people? He says, listen to my voice, open the door, I'll come in, we'll eat together and we'll dine together, and your life is going to produce a sound that is different than the noise of the world. Listen to what Acts chapter 2 says when it describes when the sound came from heaven to earth. Acts 2, 1 through 6 says this. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from what? Heaven a what? A sound. Now, we're going to read this whole passage of scripture, and if I was describing that event, the sound would not be the first thing that I would notice in that event. Those of you that have read it, think about what maybe you would come away with. But the first thing that Acts chapter 2 references is that from heaven came a sound. And the sound was like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house, or the atmosphere in that place changed, because when the peace of God comes in, the chaos of flesh has to go out. The Bible says, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Meaning, I like the picture that we get in this passage of scripture, is I am going to sit in my home or the upper room in the place where I'm at, and I am going to change the atmosphere by sitting and inviting the rhythm or the sound of God to be part of my life. Verse number three. And the Bible says, and divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. Now, that's probably what I would have led with. How many think if fire started emanating from our heads, that's probably what we should note first? But don't you think that it's very interesting that the writer of this history in Acts chapter 2 doesn't say that the weirdest thing was the fire, the weirdest thing was the fact that there was a sound. You will never produce the fire of God in your life, the miracle signs and wonders, without first sitting in the presence of God and changing the sound of your life. It's a good word, Pastor. So many people want to go to the signs, wonders, and miracles. They want the fruit of God. They want the display of God on their life, but they don't actually want to rest in God. And God says, I'm not going to give you the display of me outwardly until you have the display of me inwardly. What a beautiful picture that is. They were seated, 120 of them walking in obedience. And what was the obedience thing that they were called to do? We want you to go tarry and wait in the upper room. Bible doesn't really say how long it was. It must have been days or weeks. Theologians talk about the space and time. But they were obedient, and in their obedience, the sound of heaven came into their life. Verse number 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak. Do you know that the sound of God over your life, or the atmosphere over your life, the rhythm of obedience over your life comes before you're supposed to speak? So many people want to speak before they actually arrive at the place of peace. If you ever have dealt with offense, has anyone ever been offended in this room or have unforgiveness towards somebody? The worst thing that you can do is have a conversation with somebody that you're having a disagreement with when you still have the pin in your heart that's causing the place in your heart to be sore or bleed. Worst thing, because you'll say things that you'll regret. So when you find yourself at a place of offense, or you find yourself at a place of unrest, if you find yourself at a place of chaos, the best thing this pastor can tell you this morning is learn the instrument of peace and go to your Heavenly Father and say, I recognize that I cannot have the sound of you in my life when I have the chaos of unforgiveness in my life. Because if I'm not walking in the obedience of your word and your will, then the atmosphere of my life is not gonna produce what I want. Here's verse number 5. Now they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at the, what does it say? Verse number 6. And at the sound. I would have thought the attraction would have been fire on their heads. I would have thought the attraction would have been them speaking in other tongues. What does the Bible say the attraction was? It was the sound. It was the fact that when the world looked at the church, there was the instrument of peace amongst them that was different than the chaos that they were living in. You want to win your world to Jesus? You want to win your family to Jesus? Don't necessarily pray for the display of God in your life. Pray and live under the peace of the display of God in your life. And out of that, signs and wonders are going to come. God, would you bring the shalom to our homes? Would you bring the peace of God to our homes? Would you allow our marriages to have a different kind of rhythm and sound so that when people look at what's happening in the church, they don't see more chaos in the church than they do in the world? That's a good word, Pastor. You're preaching today. The crowd gathered, the Bible says, at a sound. It wasn't just a fire. It wasn't necessarily the speaking in tongues. It wasn't the diversity. It wasn't just the unity. The Bible says it was the sound that drew the crowd. What the crowd heard that day, I believe, was the same thing that Adam and Eve heard. I believe they heard that day in the upper room the sound of God walking in the garden. That's what people are searching for. The people are searching for the sound of God. The next example I want to give is the children of Israel were gathered. Moses was on the mountain in the glory. And as Moses is coming down the mountain, he meets up with his disciple named Joshua. And the Bible says in Exodus chapter 32 that they came upon a noise. And it's very fascinating what was read in this, or what was recorded in this passage of Scripture. Exodus chapter 32, verses 7 and 8, and then 17 and 18. Here's what Exodus chapter 32, verses 7 says. And the Lord says to Moses, go down, for your people whom you've brought up out of the land of Egypt has corrupted themselves. I love how God said, Moses, your people. I say that to my wife sometimes about my son. Your son is doing something stupid. Now, when my son does something really good, I take credit for it. When he does something really stupid, my wife gets to take credit for it. I don't really do that, but I infer that in the scripture. I love how God's like, Moses, your people. Your people are down there acting a fool, and they have corrupted themselves. Or listen to what happens. They begin singing to another tune. Verse number 8, they had turned aside quickly and out of the way that I commanded them. In verse 17, here's what it says. When Joshua heard the noise, didn't have to see the actions. What does the Bible say? He heard the noise. There's a difference between the noise that religion produces or the noise that the world's wisdom produces versus the sound that God produces in our life. Joshua was about to learn a lesson. So verse 17, when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. Do you know the times when you're wrestling with God, it produces a noise where there's a determining factor or a season in your life on who's going to become Lord of your life? Where Joshua heard a noise, Moses began to hear a sound. I want you to know that Moses had just been the originator of the sound. The Bible says that he came off the mountain at an intimate moment with the Lord. We often get deceived in times when we have not been with the originator. Verse number 18 says, it's not the sound of shouting for victory or the sound of the cry of defeat, but it's the sound of singing that I hear. That original, when you dissect the original, when Moses said it's the sound of singing that I hear, it literally means that they were singing or chanting with repetition. Or the Bible says they were literally going through the motions. To lock in with me here this morning, Moses comes down having been with the originator of the sound, and he steps off the mountain and he looks at the people of God and he said, the people of God are literally going through the motions. And when you literally go through the motions of just going through your day-to-day Christian walk with God without authenticity or genuineness, you create a callousness over your heart where the Creator who wants to speak with you and be intimate with you can't because you're just going through the motions. I believe what's happened to the American church and what's happened to most believers in our area, in our mission field, is that we have gone through the motions over and over again, and we are living in the dangers of going through the motions and creating a noise rather than producing the sound. You hear the warning? The warning that I have as an American, like before Laodicea was rebuked in Revelations, before the people of Laodicea were rebuked, the church of Laodicea had a pastor. You tracking with me? I have to, as a pastor, make sure that the people that call me their shepherd don't just go through the motions and produce noise, but God, I don't want my life or my church or my family belief community, I want them just to produce going through the motions noise. God, I want to be at a place where I hear from you, walking in the upper room, being obedient to you so that we can hear the sound of heaven coming to our life. Busyness doesn't produce the sound. My works don't produce the sound. Good ideas don't produce the sound of God in my life. Programs don't produce the sound in my life. What produces the sound of God in our lives is the response when God says, where are you? And you say, God, I'm standing in you and next to you because I want to be with you. This instrument of peace is so important in our lives. Our world needs a church who is in tune with the sound of God. The noise of singing, the noise of politics, the noise of busyness, the noise of convenience, the noise of unforgiveness, the noise of frustration, the noise of hatred or guilt or religion or programs or judgment. Those will all produce a noise, but they will never produce the sound that God wants to produce in our lives. So, Pastor, what produces the sound of God? I believe that one of the things that produces the sound of God in our life is authenticity. 1 Kings chapter 14, 1 through 6 tells this incredible story that I want to read this morning. The Bible says in verse 1, at the time, Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, fell sick. How many has ever been in through a difficult season before? So we're entering in someone's story where the son of Jeroboam fell sick. If you've ever had a family member that's been sick in your life or are going through some issues, medical issues, and it's especially prolonged, it can be a difficult daily road, and this is where Jeroboam found himself in. Bible says in verse 2, and Jeroboam said to his wife, arise and disguise yourself, that it not be known that you were the wife of Jeroboam, and I want you to go to a place called Shiloh. And behold, there is a prophet that is there who said of me that I should be king over this people. Do you know that seasons are a great revealer if your life is producing the noise of the world or the sound of God? You want to know what someone's made of, just have them go through a difficult season. And Jeroboam found himself in this difficult season. Verse number 3, he gives this wife who he tells to pretend some instructions. I want you to take with you 10 loaves, some cakes, and a jar of honey, and I want you to go to this prophet, and he will tell you what shall happen to this child. Do you know that going to the right place with the wrong heart is still dangerous? Jeroboam was telling his wife to go to the man of God or go to the house of God, bring an offering, and when you bring that offering, there is this man who's going to tell you what's going to happen to our son. Verse number 4, Jeroboam's wife did so. She arose and went to Shiloh and came to the house of Ahilah, the prophet. Now the prophet could not see, for his eyes were dim because of age. And the Lord said to the prophet, behold, the wife of Jeroboam is coming to inquire of you concerning her son, for he is sick. Thus and thus you shall say to her. And when she came, what does the Bible say? She pretended to be another woman. Listen to what verse number 6 says. But when the prophet heard her, the sound of her feet as she came into the door, come in, wife of Jeroboam, why do you pretend to be another? The prophet of God, listen to me, the prophet of God, the vehicle of God, called her out not because she didn't come to the right place, not because she didn't bring an offering to the man of God, not because she didn't inquire of the vehicle of God, but the prophet of God had to call her out on what? Her pretending to be someone that she wasn't. Being honest about the sound of your life is really the key to living in harmony with God. Authenticity is the key to any relationship. Colossians 3 and 15 says this, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Genesis teaches us that there is a sound that produces, or a rhythm of our life that produces the peace of God. And if I allow the peace of Christ to rule in my heart, I will be blessed. Let's read Colossians chapter 3 here. It's not going to be on your screens. I want you to listen to it, because I want you to listen to the preceding of that verse versus and the verse afterwards. Here's what it says. If then you have been raised with Christ, verse 1, seek the things that are above. I'm not going to find the peace of God seeking the things below. Where Christ is, he's seated at the right hand of God. Verse number 2, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Here's some instructions that Colossians gives us as believers. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Listen to what he says. One of the first signs that you're going to recognize if you're living in harmony with God or living in the peace of God with the instrument of peace in your life is you are going to flee from sexual immorality. Pastor, are you telling me that if I'm a young adult that I should wait to have sex till I'm married? Yes, I am. Are you telling me as your pastor that God only co-signs for sex between a man and a woman in the bounds of marriage? Yes, I am. I know these are novel concepts, but the world is trying to find peace in relationships outside of the will of God, and you will never find the peace of God outside the will of God. He says you got to flee from impurity. And I love how the Word of God doesn't just speak to the present, he speaks to the future. When he says impurity or passions, passions actually can be described as this word lusts, that the Word of God even knew that there was going to be a season in culture where so many people were going to be underneath the bondage of pornography or visual lusts, that one of the ways that you can destroy the peace of God in your life is by living underneath the cloud of sexual impurity and immorality. I'm not saying it. The Word of God's saying it. You're going to have to run away from evil desire. Do you recognize that sexual sins, they are like snowballs? Where, like, when I was dating my wife, I got to hold her hand before I got to kiss her. And there came a point when holding her hand wasn't enough and I wanted to kiss her. And then I wanted to kiss her, and then I wanted to go from second base to third base. Am I talking to anybody in the room? I mean, it's not a bad thing. Sex is not a bad thing. In the bounds of marriage, God allows it. But this thing, if you're not careful, sexual perversion can go over and over, and it's like a snowball that gets out of control. And the Bible says if you want to destroy the peace of God in your life, give yourself over to your earthly passions. What I believe verse 5 is teaching us is that intimacy with man will never replace intimacy with God. Verse number 6, on account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these, you too once walked. I love how Paul writes and he says, don't get all religious on me. You guys today at Parkway could be pretending and acting like you never have any of these problems. But Paul goes, no. You too once walked these ways when you were living in those. But now, verse number 8, you must put away all anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. It means that I can't cuss when I get mad. It means that my mouth has to be under submission because my mouth can destroy the peace of God in my life. What it says. Verse number 9, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and now you're putting on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian or slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Verse number 12, I'm almost done. What a concept, reading the Bible at church. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Ooh, patience. Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all, these put on love, which binds everything together. And I love how the writer of Colossians put this in perfect what? Harmony. There is a sound that your life is going to produce, and it's going to be one that is going to bring what? Harmony. Verse number 15 is the verse we just read previously. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Listen to verse 16 now. Let the what? The word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts. Do you know where true worship comes from? True worship comes from an authentic place where the peace of God is ruling in our heart. Jason Van Dusen, could you come help me really quick? I didn't ask him to do this, but I think he's gonna be okay with this. Do you mind if you can teach me in front of the congregation how to play an acoustic guitar. I've actually never even put on a guitar before. I want to put it on. I want you to show me how to put it on. All right. I feel like the cool Jason now. Could you hold this for me? How expensive is this guitar?
We'll find out when you gotta buy a new one.
So I want you to teach me like the simplest chord, and I want you to like, I just want to strum and I want to get it right, okay? So pull the microphone up and tell them what you're going to try to teach me.
I don't know what I'm going to teach them.
What kind of chord is it? G chord?
It's the D chord. Let's try this. And I'm trying to do it when I'm not, yeah, put this.
It's like putting a tie on somebody.
And then this finger is, no. Well, hold on. Yeah, loosen up. This one's going to go there. This one's going to stay there. This one's going to go in between those on that one. Yeah. Got that?
Yep.
And then strum these top three. We're getting there.
Is it frustrating?
Not at all. No. This is fun. I think the frustrating part is being up in front of everybody and not having the guitar in front of me to hide behind. So let's try this. Let's switch that finger. Let's put that one across like that and then that one in the middle. And just be loose. Be loose. Be easy. Gentle. Gentle. Let's bring that one down here. Now let's try.
No.
He got one string. He got one string. Round of applause.
I want you to stay here. This is the picture of the Holy Spirit in a new believer's life. The Lord, when we come to Him, gives us this expensive instrument that's called peace. And the left hand is the will of God or the word of God. And the right hand is obedience. And a lot of us get frustrated when we pick up the instrument of peace and right away we don't get it. You tracking with me? And we say, okay, man, you hear Jason, like you're tensing up with your left hand, like chill out. You're just going to play those three strings. And I immediately started getting really nervous, the fact that I couldn't even strum one proper chord. But the good teacher, he doesn't get mad. He just says, it's okay. So many of us that are in this room, we grab the instrument of peace in our life. Here, take this before I... We take the instrument of peace in our life. Leanne, if you can come to the keyboard. We take the instrument of peace in our life, and we learn the word of God. And so the word of God says that I'm to bring all the tithe into the storehouse. Is that what the word of God says? And then we go to the right hand, and we go, money. Is that what we do? That's what I did when I first learned the principle. And we say, Lord, I know what your word says, and I know what the rhythm of my life should say, but until I get it proper in both hands, does it not produce the sound that I'm supposed to emit? Here's what the word of God says. Left hand. Do not love this world or the things in this world. Okay. But Lord, I really love that. He says, don't love the world. If you want to learn how to produce my sound in your life, you're going to have to learn to have your affections not below. You're going to have to learn how to have your affections above. And he says, I'll walk with you. We can be patient with each other. And you strum that guitar, you strum the instrument of peace, and it produces some noise. But God looks, the Holy Spirit looks and says, I hear it. It's not the final product yet, but I hear it. I hear the instrument of peace going on in your life. The Bible says, don't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Oh, but she's really beautiful. But that business deal is really going to make me a lot of money. Word of God, left hand says, don't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. And then I got to strum that. And a lot of people don't understand the instrument of peace at first is not going to produce harmony. And the Bible says, commands you and I to practice righteousness. You know what's really bad about life is that you can go practice unrighteousness and reap the benefits really quickly. If all of us wanted to go to the club tonight, we want to go to the club Friday night, we wanted to ruin our marriage, we wanted to go on a bender, we wanted to do what we wanted to do, Friday night we could go out to a club, and Friday or Saturday morning we could have ruined our life because we would have had a whole lot of fun and we could have reaped the benefits of unrighteousness really quickly. Unrighteousness allows you to play and then pay. Righteousness, Lord, I just want to be an instrument of the sound that you want to produce in my life. Oh, that didn't sound right. Lord, I need your help. I want the marriage that you want me to have. I want the life that you want me to have. I want to honor you with the stewardship of my finances. I want to honor you with my... And we begin to practice righteousness where we have to pay, practice obedience, and then eventually our life before him becomes a living sacrifice. That's holy and acceptable, pleasing because of why? The blood of Jesus, and allowing us to live in the sacrifice of Jesus and producing the sound of peace. What I felt like I wanted to just share with you at this final lesson of the book of Genesis is from the beginning, God teaches us a secret of the instrument of peace. That if I want to let the peace of God rule in my heart, I'm going to have to learn left hand the word and will of God and right hand the obedience and the discipline of my flesh. And when I do that, there is a harmony with other believers that produces the sound of God. And when believers produce the sound of God, the world looks and goes, what's different about them? What's different about that CR crew? What's different about the youth group at Parkway? What's different about the senior group at Parkway? What's different? That pastor, he's awfully funny. He's awfully funny looking. What's different about him? You just find yourself, Lord, I just want to produce your sound. I don't care where, I don't care when, I don't care how, I just want to produce the sound. And so all across this room, many of you are wondering where the peace of God is in your life. It's because first you have to know the word of God and the will of God. And then you got to learn how to strum that guitar, the instrument of peace. There's nothing like watching a sold-out believer before the Lord saying, Lord, I'm your instrument. Would you use me? Use me to change the very atmosphere of my world. Lord, would you let Parkway produce the sound so that the lost and lonely, the bruised and broken, will find a place, not where there's noise, but where there's a sound of peace resonating in the hope-filled gospel. You know, the Bible in Ephesians chapter 6, you know what Paul writes to the church in Ephesus when he talks about putting on the whole armor of God? One of the bits of the armor of God is the gospel of what? Peace. That you were to put on the gospel of peace. How many in this room want the gospel of peace in and through their life? Would you guys stand with me all across this room? The worship team is going to sing us in one final worship song. And we're going to say, Lord, we so endeavor to produce your sound and your will and your way. Would you just take a few moments and stretch up your hands all across this room if you're physically able and willing? Lord, your word says that you'd wish that men would lift up holy hands everywhere. And here we are, mankind, here we are, lifting up holy hands because of what your son did on that cross. We're being obedient. And now we come with authenticity and we say, Lord, would you produce the sound of peace in our life so that we can honor you in everything that we do. They're going to sing one worship song and I'm going to come back.
Here I'll keep making room. Do what you want to. I just can't leave the way I can. Here, as I open my mouth, all of heaven comes down. I just can't leave the way I came. Here, I keep making room. Do what you want to. 'Cause I just can't leave the way I came. Oh, here, as I open my mouth, all of heaven comes down. 'Cause I just can't leave the way I came. Here, I'll keep making room. Do what you want to. 'Cause I just can't leave the way I came. Here as I open my mouth, all of heaven comes down. Oh, I just can't leave the way I came.
Before I let you go out that way, I want to remind you tonight, our prayer and worship night, Manny from the House of Glory, owner-operator, is going to be coming and sharing the word tonight. You do not want to miss it. 5 o'clock, look to your neighbor and say, don't miss it. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be awesome. And I want you to begin, as this altar call this morning from this lesson is not going to happen here. It's going to happen out there. Every day, daily, 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 Lord, I just want the rhythm of my life, the noise, the sound that you produce in my life. Lord, I want it to impact someone for eternity. And I want to set my mind and my heart and my emotions on things above and not below. Heavenly Father, our church today, we say to you, yes, we desire to live and operate in that gospel of peace. And we want the peace of God, the peace of Christ to rule in our hearts. Lord, in everything we do, we honor and celebrate you. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody says, amen and amen. We'll see you tonight, 5 o'clock. God bless you guys for being here.
Keep making